Welcome to this week's edition of BV Extra. We're here each week bringing you the latest trends from Google and around the industry. We'll also feature a guest each week to give you a unique perspective on our new normal. This week, we've got Jane Marr from Success Strategies to talk about the transformation she is seeing in design studios, the design process, and so much more. But first, I have Tim Costello here to share the latest updates on the market and trends we are seeing on Google search. Tim, aka Mr. Realist in real estate, and man never accused of being Pollyanna Sunshine, what do you have for us today in terms of what is on the minds and hearts of our shoppers out there?
I thought I was Dr. Doom. What happened to my title?
I thought you needed a little rebranding.
Well, I tell you, after 7 weeks into this crisis, now being the third week where we have a positive increase in the number of consumers looking for homes to buy, my Dr. Doom title is just going down the toilet.
I think we need someone else to do the report. I've got to find, it's going to be positive.
When I'm positive about the market, we're all in trouble.
Totally.
Yeah. So yes. Here's the latest update. So we're 7 weeks into this. We had four down weeks in a row that actually culminated in the deepest trough that we had in a decline in people looking for new home real estate. And then we hit a bounce, and we are all very delighted that it didn't sink any further. Then the second week came along, we hit another small rise. Then this last week, we actually had a really significant increase in consumer interest in real estate for sale. We saw a 12% national rise in the number of people actively out there searching for real estate for sale. So now when you start to look at this crisis from a year-to-year perspective, the market is about 90% the size that it was 1 year ago. We're only down about 10% year over year, which is absolutely stunning to me. I mean, just
that is actually amazing. We keep looking at it thinking, okay, we're going to, you know, hit a little bump here, but it doesn't seem like it.
I mean, as you know, I'm just a news junkie. I read at least 100 articles a day from different news sources about the economy, stocks, you know, financial stuff, consumer, you know, confidence, and all this kind of junk. It is just, it's almost incomprehensible that the market is still this strong. So, you know, the first issue, strong market, 90% of the people still in the market.
And let's be really clear, because not everybody listens every week and hangs on every word of what we say. This is really looking at Google and general search trends. This has nothing to do with BDX or New Home Source.
Yeah, no, BDX is actually doing way better than this. But this is an index that we've been using for over 15 years. It looks at several thousand different search terms within Google that are related to real estate search. We look at it across the entire country. We actually do look at it in every individual market. So I could talk about Philadelphia, and we could talk about New Orleans, and we could talk about Austin and Pensacola and all that. But, you know, it's hard, obviously, to do that on a podcast like this. So we just roll it all up into a national average. And it is incredibly accurate in predicting home traffic and home sales and contracting anywhere from 2 to 6 months out. So it does tell you kind of what's coming, how much interest there is in the market. And we follow that up, by the way, with our own call center that goes out and talks to consumers that are actually shopping online to get a sense, are they really serious? Has their commitment to actually purchase gone down or up? And that is still extremely strong. So my message to builders right now is, if your head is in your hands and your knees are on your elbow and you're going, oh my gosh, a crisis, you're missing it. You need to be out there right now converting every single one of these shoppers to a sale, because we don't know how long this is going to last. It could be a V-shaped recovery and all is good and it's all over, or it could end up having another very significant leg down and we could have a much harder time, let's say, later this summer. So if I was a builder, I would be out there reaching out to every consumer that is online today looking for homes in my market. I would want to get in front of them, and I would be all over my sales organization to make sure we are following up and we are talking to these people, we are nurturing them, and we are dragging them across that sales.
So you mentioned that while, you know, Google is up, you said New Home Source is also up in terms of traffic.
Yeah,
as well.
New Home Source is actually kind of right back to where we were last year, which was, by the way, a record of where we have been in 5 years. So from a New Home Source perspective, but New Home Source isn't a very good indicator of just kind of national interest, because many times New Home Source actually greatly outperforms the market, because we will go out and acquire traffic, for example, right, to make up for declines and things like that. So you can't just use New Home Source as an indicator of what's going on in the marketplace. So that's why we use the Google index as a general indicator. So,
perfect.
Now, there's some other really interesting things. So that, you know, I don't want to cut this too short. There's some really interesting stuff going in the market that I think builders need to be very aware of. And the second most important thing I think on their radar needs to be the fact that we are seeing a precipitous decline right now in the number of used homes that are on the market. Meaning if you go out to your local MLS and you look at the number of listings in the MLS, the number of listings in the MLS is dropping very precipitously and very quickly. And it's because of two factors. People that have had their homes on the market are withdrawing them because right now they just don't want people coming into their house. You know, they're just.
It totally makes sense. If your kids can't, your grown kids can't come in your house, you don't want strangers in looking at
you.
Yeah,
you know,
house.
It used to be, okay, somebody's coming over Thursday. We'll go off to Starbucks and hang out there, or we'll go to the mall, we'll go to a movie,
right.
We'll go do something. Well, it's kind of like, you know, where do you go? You get in your car and you go hang out in a parking lot someplace. So a lot of people are just taking their homes off
the
market.
Well, and you don't know who's coming into your house, and you're very careful about that right now.
So we're seeing, one, a retraction of homes for sale in the market. And then the next issue, of course, is people that were thinking about putting their homes on the market are going, oh, I'm just going to wait this out. We'll put it on the market after we're through this crisis. So what's happening is we're seeing a very, 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 very significant decline in the number of used homes on the market, which means new homes are disproportionately now merchandised in the MLS. Agents that have clients that need to move right now. And like I said, the market is 90% the size of the market was a year ago. So agents have clients. So we as builders need to be messaging to the agent community that we have homes for sale right now. We have homes in the ground that will be available in 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. We need to be all over this. If we do this right, we can actually increase market share and we can have a better April and May than we had last year. But we have to get our hands around this and actually take action. And we have to do that really quickly.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, and it could just be finally, at long last, new homes has its rightful place. And
well,
we take back market share
it
that,
is interesting.
That we've lost.
The historic market share of new homes is between 15 and 20%. But since the housing crisis in 2008, we have been running at 10% or less, essentially,
right.
Since that time. So this would give us an opportunity to get back to our 15 to 20% of the entire housing market, which means that we could double last year's sales. You know, from a market share perspective, right? From a market, we could actually double that and still be within historical realms of the percentage of new homes versus used homes. So this is a huge opportunity for housing. We need to take advantage of it right now. We don't know what's coming in the future. So my message to home builders is
wake up.
Saddle up, Buck. It's time to get in the saddle. Or this is a rodeo. It's time to ride horses.
Perfect. All right, great. Well, that is a great segue into our guest speaker for today because she's going to help us because in order to go tap into this, we can't just be doing what we've done forever, right? We really are having to shift. So our special guest today is Jane Maurer, President of Success Strategies. Many of you know Jane as one of our industry's leading design studio and marketing experts. Jane has worked with builders in nearly every state, and her unparalleled credentials and wide-ranging expertise make her uniquely positioned to bring you an in-depth look into the design studio world. We're excited to have Jane here to share her perspective as we're all learning to navigate our new normal. Welcome, Jane. I know your calendar is even more full than it was before all of this, and appreciate you taking time for us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to everyone over there at BDX for allowing me the opportunity to hopefully support the home building industry and share some ideas.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, let's just dive right in with a general question. As we all know, the options that go into the house are what makes the house my home. And for builders, options are often make or break in terms of margin and profitability. From your perspective, Jane, how should builders be transforming their design experiences right now?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, I think this time affords us a lot of opportunity to, in some ways, kind of just get on our A game and do things we really should be doing anyway. But perhaps we'll do them a little bit differently now. And hopefully some of the process improvements and new and creative ways of engaging prospective buyers and buyers through the design studio, hopefully many of those will retain when the market normalizes again. But the types of things we should be doing right now to transform the design studio experience, I think really fall into a couple of different areas. There's things we can do to support our sales team in attracting and converting prospective buyers to actual buyers. And then there's certainly things we can do with our existing customers to make sure that they have the very satisfying and complete design studio experience that is part of the brand promise and that they deserve. So lots of ideas to share with you as we go throughout the call today.
So that is a perfect intro into, you know, when you look at options, sometimes we tend to think of the option selection process as just that phase in the customer journey. So just that little sliver of the process, which is so important. But I think you're hitting upon something around options and design really plays a role through the whole buyer journey. You know, when I'm shopping for my home, when I'm ideating, when I'm trying to get to the pricing, of course, selecting and all of that. But then even into the build phase, it's so important. So how can builders create a game plan for their design center that kind of works through all of those phases in today's climate?
Absolutely. And I can give you a whole bunch of ideas and hopefully something will resonate with the builders out there. But I think it is important to remember that the design studio experience doesn't just begin at the beginning of the appointment and end when the selections are finalized. You know, the design studio being such an integral part of the whole home buying experience and the concept of personalization being so critical for customers today. Let's start with how can the design studio during these times really help the sales team and the marketing team to attract customers and keep them interested right now. And by the way, it was awesome, Tim, to hear your super, you know, positive forecast. And I certainly hope that turns out to be the case. So I'm rooting for that all the way.
Well, you picked the right day because I'm usually not super positive at all in my forecasting.
Jane, we may.
For me, you, and the industry. Yeah, absolutely.
Jane, we may have to have you back every week. So maybe that
maybe
was
it's
the trigger.
Jane. It's Jane. Yes. She's the one causing this. Okay.
I don't think so, but I'm delighted to hear it for sure. So, you know, real quick, maybe to start with a few things that the design studio team can do right now to support the builder's marketing efforts is, you know, really taking this opportunity to inspire customers towards a uniquely personalized home by showing different types of style and trend compilations, curated collections, maybe doing like 2-minute product, you know, new product or just, you know, really important product videos where we talk about how products will perform or why it's a trend highlight. And these types of things just build trust and confidence and authority in the builder as, you know, someone that can really, a company that can really satisfy the customer's desire for personalization. Now's a great time to maybe do a walkthrough video of a model home talking about some of the on-trend and high-performing products. We could even do Q&A videos with our design consultants. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that I think prospective buyers can be inspired through the design studio when they have maybe some extra time at home right now. But also what I think prospective buyers really want is the assurance that if they should move forward with a purchase agreement, that they will have a complete design studio experience right now. And so we're coaching all of our clients, like, don't leave your potential buyers wondering. Let's get out in front of it and prove that you have a step-by-step process. So show them how you will deliver the excitement that they really want, to show that you're excited and optimistic about working with them. Show them that they will still receive the expert guidance of the design consultants, and here's exactly how. And let them know that they will still receive a world-class personalization experience. And just kind of getting out in front of that so it doesn't become perhaps an impediment to the purchase.
That is so key, Jane, in terms of just that assurance. We're even telling builders, just make sure people even know you're open, that you are open for business. And then I think very quickly you have to give them assurance that you're going to be with them every step of the way through the process. And this is not a problem. This is not something that we can't work through. I think that confidence is so important.
I love everything you just said, and I completely agree.
So as they move from kind of that shopping phase and they get more into, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to actually go forward. We're going to buy the home. We've contracted. How can the designers kind of step in, and how can this option process be made a little bit simpler in terms of the, you know, some of the impediments that we have in front of us today?
Sure. So I think right now the name of the game is really showing your customers how you do have a plan of action. So we see three different types of things happening with design appointments right now. Sometimes we have in-person appointments with physical distancing and sanitization procedures. Sometimes we have virtual appointments where the consultant is in the studio, but the customer is not. And then sometimes in a few areas of the country, nobody's in the studio, and that becomes a little bit more challenging. But I think when we look at how we handle the customer experience in each of these, for the in-person appointments, you know, it's just, again, letting the buyers know that you have a plan and letting them know things like, we're going to be asking you screening questions, and here's what we're doing with protective gear. Here's how we're limiting the number of buyers in the studio, or just people in general in the studio, or things like, we are delighted to handle all the samples for you. We'll respectively request that you don't touch the samples for your own protection as well as that of our team. Think of this as a concierge level experience. Sit, relax, and we'll bring the samples to you. So things like that. If you are unable to have your customers in the studio or they don't want to come in, having a great game plan for a virtual appointment and making sure that you and you, meaning the design consultant, and the buyers are comfortable ahead of time with the technology and the resources and the tools so that the appointment can go smoothly. We certainly don't want to start off an appointment very bumpy because the technology is not working or things like that. We are really coaching a lot of our clients to do recorded videos in the design studio to demonstrate products, and when they're there, and even if the customer isn't there, they can show things like the soft close maybe on the drawers, or, you know, the hands-free faucet and how that works. And through either a recorded video or a live virtual appointment, you know, these are some ways that we can still support the whole customer experience during these interesting times.
Great. And I just want to thank you so much for not using the word COVID once in your messaging with customers. We're trying to help all builders understand that they really don't want to slap COVID all over their website and all of their messaging. And I like how you refer to it. It's interesting times, challenging times, perhaps. New normal is kind of one of my favorites. But I think it's really important that you're using kind of that calm, assuring tone that isn't completely disregarding that we have this huge elephant called COVID, but that we're not actually slapping our customers in the face with it, you know, every minute and every sentence of our messaging. So I really, really appreciate that.
I appreciate that you're highlighting it, because I forget sometimes to mention that. But yeah, I can just follow up on that. We are coaching with a lot of the consultants right now who understandably don't really know how to have this conversation. So I agree with you 100% in the marketing and sales efforts. We really don't need to be talking about it, for sure. But when it is one-on-one and the buyer comes in and talks to the consultant, it does come up, obviously, as they're talking about their dreams and hopes and their life today and how it might be different in the new home. And so we're working with the design consultants to take that as a bonding opportunity for rapport and connection. But then they have to also at some point be able to guide the conversation back to normal. And so it's okay to just sit with it for a little bit if the customer brings it up, right? Or we don't need to bring it up. Mm-hmm. And just say, you know, yeah, it is a little bit different now. But, you know, I'm 100% committed to make this a great experience for you. And, you know, can't change the situation in the world today. But what I can do is make sure you have the very best personalization experience possible, and that together we create a home that satisfies your lifestyle needs and your design preferences, regardless of the fact that things are a little bit different today. But we're going to focus on the long term, the house that you're going to live in for a lot of years. So let's get back to it.
Oh, great.
And that's kind of just a nice segue if it does come up.
Right. Well, and it almost makes me want to go out and buy a new home, because you're making it sound like it's so easy and so pleasurable. But I think that's really
be.
The goal.
It
yes. And it can be. And I think what's interesting is we kind of think of this as our new normal, but we've always had remote buyers. So it's not like this is completely foreign to us. We're just not used to having to do so many of our buyers in this method. And I do think, as you bring up, we have to be prepared for kind of those three different models of it can be in person, but we've had to kind of make some accommodations to the designer is in the studio, but the customer is remote. And then that third situation of, you know, both the designer and the customer remote. I think what's interesting for builders is, especially if they go across markets or even in one market, they're going to go in and out of these phases. So you really can't just pick one. You actually have to be prepared for all three of those situations. And you may be in a market where a customer, you can accommodate an in-person appointment, but the customer just won't come in. They're uncomfortable. So you almost have to be pretty fluid in the environment. And you gave us some tips on tips for kind of that in-person appointment. How do you deal with that virtual appointment where either the designer is in the studio, but the customer's virtual, or both parties are virtual? What are some tips for how best to deal with that?
Absolutely. Great question. Well, first, of course, I have to mention that, you know, the builders that are using a tool like Envision right now, I'm sure they are always happy, but they're probably very happy today, because while Envision can always be a great a resource to provide ahead of the appointment and during the appointment, obviously now it is of utmost importance. So certainly, you know, we'll start with saying one of the tips is to leverage all the resources and tools that you have to the greatest extent possible. And, you know, I think Envision can be a very big part of that solution right now. But, you know, here's a couple of things that we're really looking at. The first is the idea of maybe having a welcome type virtual meeting in advance of the design appointment, particularly if buyers are not coming in for an in-person preview. If we can provide a virtual preview or some type of, you know, the recorded video preview or anything like that. But the idea of maybe doing like a 15-minute virtual welcome meeting, and we do think the sales team could be involved in this if the new home consultant wanted to be. So it's a direct handoff from the sales team to the design team. And the purposes for this type of meeting would be to create connection and rapport that maybe hasn't happened because of the different scenarios we're working in today. For the design consultant to be able to establish trust and authority and kind of set those expectations really in a concrete way ahead of time, to certainly get the kinks out of the way in terms of the technology. So as I said before, both the customer and the consultant are really comfortable using the technology, and to deliver a prepared buyer to the appointment who doesn't have a lot of apprehension or trepidation about the way the virtual appointment will work, because we believe mindset on both the part of the consultant and the customer is a really big thing to manage. So I think if we do that ahead of time, that way when the virtual appointment starts, it starts clean and fresh and happy and can move forward with the momentum that we'd like.
Oh, great.
The other thing, yeah, is just more logistically, I would say it's a good time for builders to look at what types of process improvement they might need to do. Is there SKU reduction or product optimization, which we're a big fan of to begin with, that hasn't been done? Now's the time to make sure we're not putting unnecessary product in front of our customers. And taking a look at policies, you know, should we be adjusting deadlines right now? Should we be splitting up appointments to more or fewer or longer or shorter? You know, things that work in different scenarios, they don't necessarily have to be forced to work now. Let's all be smart and take a look at how can we adjust some of our policies and our processes to make the experience just as awesome as it's always been, but in a different way.
Great. Well, and I think you're hitting upon kind of a constant theme through all of this. There are some things that we've known we should have done for quite some time. And, you know, this is just kind of, you know, speeding us up a little bit and hastening us in terms of making sure we do those things that we've always known were good things to do. So let me switch gears a little bit. you know, the designer's role in the whole new home experience, whether it's in the physical design center, whether Envision is attached to it, or the virtual experience, the designer is so key in that process. How has the designer's role changed, I guess, and has the designer's role changed in the past few weeks?
Good question. I think it has changed, and I'd probably say, similar to what I said before, that, you know, it's just maybe enhancing things that we should always be doing, but now highlights the importance of it, and that is that the role of the consultant should be to support that world-class customer experience. One of the things we've been coaching on in the last few weeks is what we're calling the three C's of customer commitment that should really be doubled down on right now. And that is providing comfort, coaching, and celebration to the customer. And I can touch briefly on each of those if you want.
Perfect. That'd be great.
So in terms of comfort, you know, I think this is really about making that connection. And kind of, as I said before, if the conversation wanders around, which it probably will, to, you know, the current situation, I think it's appropriate to share, you know, a couple of human moments with someone about bonding over that and not trying to pretend it's not here. Again, I wouldn't bring it up, but, you know, certainly customers are bringing it up. So it's okay to have that conversation. Like I said, transition them back. But I think it's important to expect that customers' attitudes might be a little different today. This may not be exactly how they always planned or envisioned that they'd be buying a home. So having some compassion for that and providing as much genuineness and comfort, bonding, rapport, really talking about those initial discovery questions and finding out what the buyer's hopes and dreams are, I think all of that is really more important now than ever before. The second C, coaching. Now more than ever, and you know, Melissa, I think this is probably the single biggest difference with the design consultant's role right now, and it is that design consultants really need to step up and be the authority figure. Because customers are counting on us more than ever before to not have them make mistakes and to make recommendations. The best consultants out there are the true professionals that are not afraid to talk about the performance benefits of higher level products, that are not afraid to make recommendations for maybe some different combinations of products to achieve certain style goals. And so I think now more than ever, being an educator and a teacher and a consultant and someone providing guidance and managing the appointment, these are all things that a true design studio professional does rather than allowing the customer to run the show and just documenting their selection. So I think that coaching piece is something buyers really appreciate today. And then lastly is celebrating. We should always celebrate the unique opportunity to create a personalized home with our customers. But especially now, what we keep saying to all our design consultants out there is you can be the bright light in their world right now where, you know, people have some apprehension and concerns. And so this is still a celebratory occasion. So when they finalize and authorize their selections, let's make sure we're celebrating the joy of creating this beautiful new home and really ending the appointment on a high note, because customers deserve to have that joy today. It shouldn't be any less because of the conditions or the appointment is virtual.
Oh, so well said. And I think, you know, you're hitting on just such key points in terms of customers are nervous enough, and we don't need to introduce any more concern or objections or worries. We need to be kind of that positive light that people want to see and they need to see. So just to wrap it all up today, Jane, I love asking this one question of all of our guests, and that is, while this is all so challenging, what's the silver lining for all of us in the home building industry?
Good question. Well, I guess for us in the industry, I would think the silver lining is that we're really coming together. You know, my entire career has been in this industry, and I love it so much. And I think it's just heartening to see the way so many consultants, we've certainly tried to do our part as well, you know, are offering these, you know, webinars and Zooms and just trying to provide all this coaching and resources to the industry at large, not even just to all of our own clients. And so I think the industry as a whole is doing a great job. You know, you guys obviously always doing this type of educational program. I think I think to see us all coming together, and that's just inspiring to me. And again, I'll kind of go back to what I said before. I think the smart builders are the ones that are going to come out of this stronger because they'll take this time to really up their game and maybe do some things they've always wanted to do but haven't focused on. And so if we can get better through it, we'll just be stronger long term.
Great. I don't think I could have said it better. So I really, really love hearing that and so agree with you on so many fronts. Well, thank you, Jane, for being with us today. Thank you, Tim, for your insights as well. And for all of our listeners, we'll be back here next week at the same time.